is also appropriate and maybe a lot longer lasting than the littles. So you guys ready for Christmas? Yeah? Got all your shopping done, got all the groceries, ready for Christmas dinner, all your plans are made, everything is ready. Y'all ready? No? Do you know who's coming for Christmas? You know how long they're going to stay? Do I know what's going on? Gifts are wrapped? Gifts wrapped? Everything ready? No? Cookies baked? Decorated? Tree up? Stockings hung? Plans are in place, right? You've got your ideas. Everything's going to go just like the plan. You know, when I was growing up, my mom was always really intense about the holidays. She would get out the good dishes, the special tablecloths. We would use the dining room table. Candles. Our dinner, our Christmas dinner, was always on Christmas Eve. Usually had roast beef. And she made this really good mashed potato casserole thing. There was some other sides that went along with it too, but you know, you get the roast beef and the potatoes, what else do you need? Dinner was a big deal. And then after dinner, my sister and I would get to open one present, chosen, of course, by my mother, because it was usually something that we were going to wear to the Christmas Eve service. And we had plenty of time after dinner to get cleaned up and changed and put on our new clothes to go to Christmas Eve service, because that didn't start until 11 o'clock at night. And then by my mom's definition, if everything goes as planned, and she couldn't plan this, but if everything goes as planned, at the end of the Christmas Eve service, around midnight, you're walking out into the new falling snow. In southern Indiana, it didn't happen that way very many times, but it did a few. We like our holiday celebrations to be perfect, don't we? Whatever your plans are. If all the kids and grandkids are coming to your house, if they're going to spend the night Christmas Eve and hope that Santa found where they went for Christmas morning, or if you're just going to have a calm, quiet Christmas with just your family, you have your ideas about how you want them to go. The perfect plan for the perfect Christmas morning. Sometimes it doesn't go that way, though, does it? Sometimes the roast beef is dry. Sometimes the presents don't fit. Sometimes the dogs tear open the presents before you get up on Christmas morning. But those are our plans that don't work out. When it comes to the real Christmas plans, maybe even Mary had some questions about how it was really going to play out. But Jesus had orchestrated everything. It's his plan. He was born at the time and the place that he chose. He was born to the mother that he chose. Jesus' life is the only life that ever went entirely as planned. Now, this morning we're going to do something a little different. Normally, fourth Sunday of Advent, sometimes known as Christmas Sunday, you hear just Christmas story kind of things. But if you've been following along in our Advent devotional, you know that we're in Matthew chapter 26. That's pretty close to the end of the gospel. That's not going to be the birth story, is it? We're going to talk about Passover. We're going to talk about the Last Supper on the Sunday before Christmas. What's up with that? Stick with me. I think you'll find it fascinating. Watch for clues as we read the scripture. It's all part of the plan. It's fascinating. Matthew chapter 26. You can follow along on the screen. You can follow along in your Bible, on your phone, wherever you like to look at the scriptures. Matthew 26, starting in verse 17. On the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad, and they began to say to him, one after the other, 'Surely not I, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'Yes, it is you.' While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' And then he took the cup, he gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.' When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." They sung a hymn because it was Passover. At the end of their Passover meal, it was part of what they did. The beginning of that passage, Jesus selected the place where they were going to have the Passover meal. Apparently, this certain man didn't even know that they were coming. Now, how many of you know about the Passover feast? How many of you know that this is the first day of a week-long feast of unleavened bread? Thousands of people had gone to Jerusalem to celebrate the feasts. The Passover feast was commemorating the Exodus from Egypt years and years earlier. You probably remember Moses and God had worked together to free God's people from Egyptian slavery. And in this plan, God's plan, he had 10 plagues that went against the Egyptians. And those 10 plagues were to encourage the Egyptians to understand who God is and to get those slaves freed. The 10th plague was to kill all the firstborn. Do you remember that? God gave Moses instructions to give to the Israelites to protect their firstborn so that they would not be struck dead when the Lord came through with the plague. He gave them instructions on how to protect them, and he gave them instructions on how to get out of Egypt. Every Israelite family needed to sacrifice a lamb. This lamb was to be their meal. It was to be roasted. It was to be eaten entirely in the evening. Any leftovers that they had to be destroyed. The protection from the plague came from the blood of the lamb. They put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their houses. The Lord passed by when he came to the blood on the doorposts. God gave them specific instructions on how to remember the Passover and the Exodus from slavery. That celebration also looked ahead to the Lamb of God. Jesus has been celebrating this Passover meal every year, all his life. But this time has come, and it's time for his Last Supper. The details of this, of the Passover meal, are very specific. There were instructions given on how to serve, how to eat the Passover meal. Each part of the meal has a specific meaning. I mentioned the lamb. There's also the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs. That's a whole another study. But along with all of the food on the plate, there are four cups of wine at each place. Each cup represented a promise from God. Now, this afternoon, you're going to have to study that on your own. You'll have to turn to Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Study that, and you'll learn about those four promises. But when we read in Matthew what we read today, that Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks for it. What cup was that? That was cup number 3, probably. The cup with the promise of redemption. Jesus gave it new meaning. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now we here can see 2,000 years later that was foreshadowing of his death, foreshadowing of his crucifixion. But those who were there in the room who were not the ones betraying him did not see that coming. Think about this, the time that they're spending together, these friends. They're relaxing together, enjoying this meal, the Passover meal, the traditions all around it, kind of like the traditional meals that you have, enjoying the company of each other. And then Jesus drops a bomb. One of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me. In John's account, Jesus identified Judas as the betrayer by giving him a piece of bread dipped in the cup. Now for us, that might not be a real significant thing because it's not in our traditions, but in his custom, that was something you did for an honored guest. You chose a specific special piece and you served it to your honored guest. Jesus honored Judas at that meal. You may also remember that this is the same evening Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. He showed them his commitment to them. He showed them his love for them. And he gave them this other commandment. John chapter 15. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater love. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. Jesus became the lamb sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins. It was part of his plan, his perfect plan. His sacrifice was his choice. He chose first to love us. He chose to die for us. And he chose to invite us to live with him throughout eternity. He tells us here, love each other sacrificially. That probably doesn't mean physically dying, but it is giving, listening, helping, encouraging, all those things that we do when we care for one another. We obey his commands because we love him. We serve others because we love him. He calls us friends because he loves us. When Jesus was sitting at this meal with his disciples that day, he told them to remember them until he comes again. Jesus said a lot of unexpected things at that meal. Remember, I said there are specific things in that meal that have specific meanings. As they ate those things, they talked about them. There were certain things that they said about each of those things. Now, Jesus says, "This is my body." He called the bread his body, and he called the wine his blood. They were remembering the blood of the old covenant, and he called the wine his blood. He was telling them to remember him and the new covenant. Every time we eat that bread, every time we drink from that cup, we remember his sacrifice, we remember his resurrection, and we anticipate his return. The reason we celebrate the birth of Jesus is because of what he has done for us and because we expect his return. That's why we do it. Now, I don't want to burst your Christmas bubble, but I do have something to share with you that may change how you think of Christmas dinner. God told the Israelites to remember their time in Egypt and how he freed them. God said, commemorate it with the Passover feast. Jesus gave disciples the Last Supper. And the disciples celebrated the Last Supper. He said, remember the ways that I love you, that he had given himself as a willing sacrifice. And we come and we participate with him when we eat the bread and when we drink the cup. We call it the Lord's Supper. We call it Holy Communion. But you know what? In the Bible, you look through there, I don't remember anywhere where it says to celebrate his birth with Christmas dinner. So, cross, in, if you're following on your outline, and you're looking at those and filling in the blanks, cross that off. Cross out where it says dinner. You know, it seemed to fit so well. The Passover feast, the Lord's Supper, Christmas dinner, it all flowed so well, but it has to go. Now, I'm not proposing we do away with Christmas, but let's keep the focus on who we're worshiping. When we remember the reason for the season, it's really great to read Luke chapter 2. And you read about the shepherds on the hillside. And you read about the awesome choir of angels. And you read about the baby in the manger and the long travels to the city of David. But isn't it also important to remember the beginning? This is the beginning of the sacrifice. This is the birth of the perfect lamb. Remember, in the old covenant, blood had to be shed to cover sin. God's plan was for Jesus to grow up on earth as the perfect man who would become the perfect sacrifice. From the beginning of Jesus' life on earth, the shadow of the cross was on him. Because he took the position of the lamb, all people are welcome by him. Anyone can come directly to God the Father because Jesus' death serves as our sacrifice. He made us acceptable in God's eyes. It was all part of God's plan. The sacrifice began when the Son of God became Emmanuel, God with us. He left his Father's side to come to earth. He didn't come as Almighty King of Kings. He didn't come as God Almighty. He didn't come as Lord of Lords, even though he was and even though he could have. His coming is a sacrifice. He came as a baby in the womb. He was born in the lowliest way, in a stable, laid in a manger, a feed trough. You imagine how his mother thought, how his mother must have felt. We really wonder what she knew. You know, that kids sang that song today, Mary, Did You Know? What a great song. Great job with that song. Did she know what her baby would do? What did she think? What did she expect? Mary had been visited by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel told her, this was the Son of God, Savior of the world. He's going to sit on the throne of David. And here they are in a barn with the animals. Doesn't seem much like royalty, does it? But this is the plan. God's plan for the perfect Christmas. The story of Jesus is a story of love. It's perfect love. He did what no one would do because of his love for his image bearers. Us, all of humanity. He must have been disappointed. Don't you think it was hard? It must have been difficult. He was human, after all. But that's the beautiful thing about it. He was human. He loves us so much that he would go to that much of a great length to redeem us, to restore us, to get us back. I want to share something with you before I finish. I don't do this a lot, but once in a while, something strikes me. I want to read something to you. Something else written by Max Lucado. It's from a book called An Angel's Story. It's told from the perspective of an angel. So the narrator here is the angel. It's a conversation, imaginary conversation written by Max Lucado, between God and Lucifer just before Jesus is born. The king walked over and reached for the book. He turned it toward Lucifer and commanded, "Come, deceiver, read the name of the one who will call your bluff. Read the name of the one who will storm your gates." Satan rose slowly from his haunches like a wary wolf. He walked a wide circle toward the desk until he stood before the volume and he read the word. "Emmanuel," he muttered to himself, and he spoke a tone in disbelief. "God with us?" For the first time, the hooded head turned squarely toward the face of the Father. "No! Not even you would do that. Not even you would go so far." "You never believed me, Satan." "But Emmanuel, this plan is bizarre. You don't know what it's like on earth. You don't know how dark I've made it. It's putrid. It's evil. It's
mine,"
proclaimed the king. "And I will reclaim what is mine. I will become flesh. I will feel what my creatures feel. I will see what they see."
"But what of their sin?"
"I will bring mercy."
"What of their death?"
"I will give life." And Satan stood speechless. God spoke. "I love my children. Love does not take away the beloved's freedom, but love takes away fear. And Emmanuel will leave behind a tribe of fearless children. They will not fear you or your hell." Satan stepped back at the thought. His retort was childish. "They will too. I will take away their sin. I will take away death. Without sin, without death, you have no power. Around and around in a circle, Satan paced, clenching and unclenching his wiry fingers. And when he stopped, he asked a question that even I was thinking. Why? Why would you do this? And the Father's voice was deep and soft. Because I love them. That's the plan. That's the perfect plan for the perfect Christmas. Love. Perfect love. His sacrifice was out of his love for us. It was his choice to love us first. It was his choice to love us. And his choice to love us created our choice to love him back. This week, as you go about your plans, remember the plan for the perfect Christmas was about a sacrifice for you. It was about a sacrifice for me. It was about Emmanuel, God with us, not as it is in heaven. The perfect gift has already been given as part of his perfect plan in his perfect love. Will you pray with me? Holy, gracious God, thank you for the ways that you love us, this amazing gift of your Son coming to earth in the womb of a girl, being born in a manger. God, help us remember as we go this week the perfect love that you have for us. Help us honor that as we celebrate this birth of our Savior. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.
When you're looking for the perfect Christmas, full of all the joy you could ever want,